The Raspberry Pi also makes a really great little media PC. You can get a small case for it, hook it up to the network, install another operating system that's based on Linux called OpenELEC, which is basically a backend for XBMC, Xbox Media Center. Plug it into your TV, and you're ready to start streaming video and audio content on your high-definition TV. Chapter 2, Hardware Accessories. In this chapter, we're going to talk about some of the hardware and accessories that you're going to need to get started with the Raspberry Pi 2. First, let's start out with the bare necessities. The two things that you'll definitely need are power and an SD card. Power requirement. Let's take a moment here and talk about power because it's important. The Raspberry Pi is a little picky about its power source. Learning about what you need here for power could save you a lot of headache later down the road. The Raspberry Pi needs 5 volts. This should be anywhere between 4.75 volts minimum and a maximum of 5.25 volts. It should be at least 700 milliamps per hour, but the recommended is 1,000. The reason for the 1,000 milliamp hour recommended power is because when you start plugging in a keyboard, mouse, network cable, and other peripherals, these all pull power away from the system. This is also why some Raspberry Pi 2 users say that 1,500 milliamp hours to 2,000 is even better. Of course, if you're only doing projects close to your desktop computer and you don't really plan to run Raspberry Pi 24/7, you could just run it off your desktop system power with just a USB cable if you want. SD card storage. There is not onboard storage on the Raspberry Pi, so you need an SD card to run the operating system from and also to store any files. Get at least the Class 4 SD storage. It is recommended that you get the Class 6 or Class 10 if you don't mind spending a little bit more. However, if it is not available, just get the best one that you can. The cost difference honestly isn't that much. And SD cards are getting cheaper all the time. You also need a card reader to transfer the operating system image that you're going to download off of Raspberry Pi's website from your desktop computer to your SD card. You can also buy SD cards with the operating system pre-installed from whoever your Raspberry Pi vendor is, even if you ever want to skip the operating system installation on the Pi. If you want to try out multiple operating systems, you can do that with a single card. However, just keep in mind that you'll overwrite any of your settings that you've played around with in the operating system. Interacting with the Raspberry Pi. You'll need to decide on how you want to interact with your Raspberry Pi. You can either do it headless over a network, with a keyboard, mouse, and monitor, or you can do a combination of both. For network access, you're going to need a network cable, either a Cat5e or a Cat6, to connect to your router. There's also a USB Wi-Fi option, which allows you to connect to your router wirelessly. If you're going headless, you don't really need a USB keyboard and mouse. They are both optional. It just depends on what you want to use the Raspberry Pi for. Just like what was previously mentioned, if you don't want to use the desktop interface, you can skip using a mouse and just plug in a keyboard. If you're using it as a media center and navigate XBMC, a wireless Bluetooth keyboard is a fantastic option if you want to sit on your couch and navigate your media center. If you're only planning to log in remotely using SSH, you can skip the keyboard entirely. Or if you just want to borrow a keyboard and a mouse from another machine for the initial setup, before you actually go headless over the network. Raspberry Pi should automatically get an IP address from your router. After your router gives an IP address to your Pi, you can just log into your router and see the exact IP address that was assigned. You can then connect via SSH using that IP address. If you don't want to find out what the exact IP address is via the router and instead want to find it out locally, you can pull up the command terminal in Raspbian OS and execute an ifconfig command. You can then unplug your peripherals and go headless from there. Displays. Moving on to displays, if your TV or monitor has an HDMI input, that's great because all you'll need to get is a cheap HDMI cable. If your monitor only has a DVI-in, you'll need an HDMI to DVI cable or an adapter. Just keep in mind that if you do that, the audio signal that's coming out of the HDMI port will be ignored when you're using a DVI converter. Depending on your setup, you can use external speakers or a splitter. If you're going to go headless, you can skip purchasing a separate monitor specifically for your Pi and just borrow one for the initial setup if you want to. Otherwise, you can still do most of the setup across the network if you are connected via SSH. Raspberry Pi casing. Moving forward, even though it may look cool keeping your bare board out with a bunch of wires just hanging off, it is probably not the safest thing to do for your Raspberry Pi. So it is recommended that you get a case for your Pi. You can get a prefab case for as little as $5. It is completely optional, but it does help protect the board. A number of people have made some pretty cool custom cases, all of which are available for purchase online. Chapter 3, Installing the Operating System in Your SD.